International Business Times reports that a big financial migration is underway in China as people deposit their money increasingly in online investment products where they enjoy instant access to their funds, no minimum deposit requirements, and receive much higher interest rates than traditional banks. Ken Dwoskin is director of the China Research and Insights Center for the international consultancy Deloitte. Speaking now from Shanghai with VOE's Victor Beatty, he says this all came about as a result of reform about 2 years ago, allowing non-state businesses to start third-party payment systems.
Alipay over the years began expanding. In fact, they all began expanding a little bit, and they began offering things like gift cards or various forms of stored value cards or online accounts. You know, in much the same way that PayPal does, that permits you to leave some money on account with the e-commerce merchant so that when you complete a transaction, buy something online, you can simply pay for it by deducting from that bank account. That expanded with a banking license that was extended to a couple of the larger players fairly recently, really as part of the diversification of financial services in China, you know, something that's been going on since 2009 at least. What happened, I think, surprised everybody when Yuaba was established. It was very attractive because it offered very high interest rates. Plus, it had the advantage over many of the alternate investment products in China that you could withdraw your money immediately. So it acted just like a demand bank account where you can walk in the bank and take your money out at any time without penalty. But it offered interest rates that were much more like a long-term wealth management product or a long-term certificate of deposit, and that's what made it so attractive. Within 50 days, it grew to be the largest fund in China and one of the largest funds in the world. That's an indication of the incredible reach and user base that Alibaba has achieved. There's a question about how sustainable this is. In a way, it's like a grand opening. It's like a lost leader that Alibaba seems to have offered, because we do have a pretty good information that they are not able to recover in the financial services marketplace the same interest rates that they're offering their depositors. And that means that potentially they're actually losing some money on this business, even though they're building an enormous cash base and deposit base with which to move forward. There are two things that are happening. One is that the marketplace will force this model to become a little bit more rational. No lender can afford to lend money at his cost of borrowing, because you have things like you have credit defaults, you have people who, you know, don't make their payments, you have administrative costs. The second thing is that China's banking regulators, the Ministry of Finance and the People's Bank of China and the China Banking Regulatory Committee, which is called the CBRC, has begun to push back on online financial services. I think that they're surprised at the growth rate. And fairly recently, the biggest providers, which again would be Alibaba and Tencent, announced that they were going to begin issuing virtual credit cards. You know, now virtual credit cards was a big step forward because it would have permitted people with whom they had a record actually to have an online credit card that they could use for all sorts of different purchases. And it would actually be expansion of credit in China, which is a new territory for them to step into. And the banking regulators very, very quickly said no. So what we're beginning to see now is a little bit more scrutiny of this very rapidly growing business by banking regulators and really by the Ministry of Finance itself to decide what is a healthy growth rate, what is a sustainable role for this kind of business in the overall economy of China.
Dwoskin foresees some form of regulatory restraint on online banking on such things as the reserves they are required to keep on hand, and may result in fewer services offered. He says while online financial services are growing rapidly now, there are reasons to suspect that it is unsustainable given market forces, as well as the potential for greater regulation. For the time being, however, Dwoskin says e-commerce in China remains a growing phenomenon.
I can tell you just anecdotally that the lobby of my apartment building in Beijing, you know, used to be a fairly quiet place. There's a desk there, and there's always an attendant there. And now every day it looks like a warehouse. Every day the lobby is stacked up with boxes that have been delivered, you know, by various delivery services. for people who have ordered things on Taobao or Tmall. So it's a big transition. It's very interesting and has retailers quite excited. And we'll just have to see how it builds and works out.
He says rent prices for traditional retail shops in major Chinese cities is so high, online services operating out of warehouses can easily compete because of their relatively low cost.